David, his demeanor when you were there, it was, you know, I have to ask, I mean, solid and sane and all of that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you talk physics with somebody like this, like, I mean, he reminded me of Glenn Seaborg in a lot of ways, his demeanor, the way Seaborg was a very tall man. He was, of course, the chairman of the Atomic Energy Commission, authorizing all the nuclear testing not far from you. And, in fact, Howard Hughes used to complain, Seaborg told me, of the shaking of the casinos and tried to get, you know, them to stop testing nuclear weapons. And when I looked at, you know, Boyd Bushman, there was a level of brilliance. In fact, Seaborg actually told me this. He told me this before he died. He said that about gravity generators, he said if anyone was developing a gravity generator, you would have something far beyond nuclear fusion. And he said, I don't believe anyone is doing anything like that yet. And Alvar Gyorso, which is Seaborg's personal assistant at Berkeley, told me that Seaborg had access to levels above top secret that were at least in the 30s, from what I remember. Now, if Seaborg was saying that, and he didn't know that anti-gravity was being developed at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, which we also get confirmation from Boyd Bushman, in the 1940s and 50s, you know, just after Roswell, then Seaborg didn't have access to this. He didn't have access to this level of information.
All right, let's come back to the Roswell craft for a moment. We were talking about the fact that he claims to know who shot it down and how it was shot down.
Yes. Now, what are you saying? Now, you have to remember, this is post-World War II. You know, we just dropped the nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in August of 1945. So in 1947, July, you know, we're still living in the post-World War II era. So we see an enemy aircraft in our airspace. We don't know that it's not Hitler. We don't know that it's not somebody, you know, one of our allies or one of our enemies. We don't know. There's no radio contact. And the way he describes this thing is it's spherical. But remember, his friend is a Navy doctor who treated the pilot who shot down the Roswell craft. Because when I play this, you'll understand that. So we have golden testimony from Boyd Bushman and his friend, who today is still a medical doctor and was a Navy doctor, treated the pilot. So the question is, why did he treat the pilot? And I mean, it's really incredible what he's saying here. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. In fact, the fact that an alien craft would be flying in our airspace in a post-World War II environment and not expect to be shot at is quite quite amazing in itself. But then when you think of what could we shoot it down with, because bullets only travel at 1,500 miles an hour. And if you go back to Kenneth Arnold's sighting between Mount Adams and Mount Rainier, he estimated these craft to be doing 1,800 miles an hour. So that's faster than a bullet. So a bullet would never hit anything like that. And then after his sighting, you go to Western Idaho. United Airlines pilots see the same chevron-shaped flying saucers in Western Idaho. Then in Portland, Oregon, they're seen again on July 4th, Independence Day. They were seen all over the city. So these things are moving all over the country. There is somebody in our airspace that's not supposed to be there. In fact, very recently released FBI FOIA documents on their website, there are numerous accounts of these saucers, even in the eastern seaboard. They're flying all over the country.
All right. All that said, David, how did we shoot it down?
Well, the way we shot it down. Now, when I asked Boyd the question, I said, there's no way it could have been a bullet. He just started laughing. He said, we have all kinds of things out there. But the question is, what did we have in 1943? And the only thing I could find was that when Tesla died on January the 7th, going into the 8th of 1943, very recently released, and I'd never had these when I was director of the Tesla Foundation in L.A., FBI documents clearly state that there was a race to get the Tesla death ray in 1943. In fact, Tesla had a meeting with Roosevelt the next morning, January the 8th, 1943, to talk and discuss the development of the death ray. So, and in fact, the documents state, which I have in my possession, they're kind of like majestic documents on Tesla, that the Tesla death ray was our only possible defense against atomic weapons. And that is what I believe shot it down. The way the death ray works is it fires a ray that disables. It disables all the electronics. That means the spark plugs in the piston engines and the aircraft. I mean, Boyd Bushman is saying that he was flying the fastest aircraft we had at that time, which I think was an F-86 or possibly another experimental aircraft, and it basically shorts out all the electricals. So in the UFO, the same thing, you know, theoretically would happen. You would fire the Tesla death ray at it. In fact, one time, very recently, I just kind of disclosed a little bit of this on a radio show. Someone said that they have a witness who was at Roswell during the time of the crash, and there are certain people that say there were lightning storms certain days of that particular week. Nobody knows the exact day of the Roswell incident. This woman said it was a clear sky, and she saw a bright flash of light in the sky, like a lightning strike, but there were no clouds, and there was no...
No, wait a minute. There were newspaper headlines.
Yeah.
So we can pretty well place the apparent or the alleged day of the crash, can't we?
Well, we have the week. We have July. You know, is it the first, the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth? I mean, we have the dates of when Jesse Marcel actually came to the site and led.
That's true. Know. Yep.
We have those dates. So the question is, at the exact time, was there a lightning storm? I've looked very closely at on NASA's website of our conventional aircraft receiving lightning strikes, and you know, you get little burn marks on the side of the aircraft, but it doesn't bring them down. So the question is, did lightning bring it down? I mean, when you listen to this testimony, I firmly believe that it was something that was shot down. And the reason I believe that is because when you look in these FBI documents and you look at the numbers of sightings of these things all over the country in a post-World War II environment, I believe we were tracking these things on radar like crazy. We were following them all over the place.